We are getting closer and closer to Election Day. And, of course, we have some very competitive contests here in the northwest corner of Connecticut. And one of those contests features Brian Oler against Maria Horn. Brian is the incumbent representative, a Republican. Maria, a Democrat running for the seat. Maria, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Marshall. It's nice to be here with you.
It's great to see such an active campaign season here, especially what happened with the debate that was sponsored by the Lakeville Journal and the League of Women Voters, where so many people showed up, actually had to be moved from room 133 into the auditorium.
That was fantastic. I mean, and the procession of us moving from the smaller classroom into the auditorium was incredible. We were just jammed. Packed, and we packed the auditorium. I think we had nearly 500 people.
And I think that bodes well for turnout in our area, which is always pretty good anyway. But this is, you know, an off election year, and normally those years are not as good locally. But it looks like this year is going to be different. All right, so now we're really close. You've been campaigning for a long, long time. take a look the long view in the from what you when you started. To now, have things developed like you thought? Has there been anything different now that you've been out on the campaign trail than you thought it would be?
I mean, overall, from a big picture perspective, the both biggest surprise and most positive part of the campaign for me has been the response to door knocking, and the fact that I can arrive on somebody's doorstep. You know, surprising them, as I said, waking up their dogs and interrupting them generally in the middle of the day, and they want to talk. When you arrive at someone's doorstep and say, you know, I want to put a face to the name and I want to know what you care about, people will tell you, and they have a lot to say, and it's been a long time since somebody's asked them that question. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Republican, an unaffiliated, a Democrat. Those are great conversations, and I have been just thoroughly affirmed by the way people really want to be heard.
And you and I were talking about that before we got on the air. When I ran for the Board of Education, I knocked on between 550 and 600 doors and wound up with over 600 votes. And I think the conversations, like you say, but you also brought up, even the people that aren't necessarily a supporter of yours, the ideas they bring to the table respectively always was something that was gratifying to me.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's an important thing that's I think that's not happening enough in our political culture right now, are people sitting down to speak to one another who have different political perspectives. And that's the value of, you know, as opposed to going to a public place and waiting for somebody to approach you. When you do that, you get people who already agree with you. But when you go approach somebody to their home, you know, ask them what they believe in, you get to hear a very different level of conversation. And sometimes you talk to people who start off thinking, oh, I'm completely politically opposed to you. I had a conversation with a guy a couple of weeks ago whose first word to me was, well, I'm right of Attila the Hun, so you're not going to have anything in common with me. And you know what? We talked for 15 minutes. Both of our fathers were vets. We had stories about, you know, how they handled that and what they did and didn't talk about. You know, it was a good conversation. Now, is he going to vote for me? I don't know. But I learned a lot from that conversation, and I think he learned something from me. And that's an important part of the process.
I think with campaigning, my good friend Bernie Sanders, when he was running for president, said, hey, Bernie Sanders can get elected president. That's not the important thing. The important thing is that you've got to run for your school boards. You've got to run for your local offices because you build support from the ground up. And that's what makes a race like this so important.
Absolutely. And it's a really – that is – you've hit the heart of the reason why I'm running for state representative, because this is an area – in particular, I find in the process of my, you know, researching what the state legislature was up to, I realized that people know a fair amount of what's happening in their towns, and they know a fair amount of what's happening at the national level. But a lot of people do not know what's happening in Hartford. And Hartford's part of that problem. They're not good at explaining the impact of the things that they do. But there's a lot happening in Hartford, and it has a big impact on people's lives.
I can remember asking John Rowland one day when I was interviewing him, how many employees the state of Connecticut had? And do you realize He could not answer that question. And he was honest about it. He said, you know, I have no idea. So when you say Hartford isn't always aware, it isn't, because it's trying its best to handle the state. But, boy, sometimes Hartford gets in the way. Let's come back locally here now. And you've been campaigning important things that are facing us. I brought up to you education. And when I brought up education, that immediately brings in other categories of things that are very important to local people.
Absolutely. And I think education is at the heart of so many issues. First of all, as we know, our local elementary schools in particular, but also the high schools, have pretty serious demographic challenges. They're built for a population that just isn't here anymore. And so that is addressing that long-term issue and bringing young families back here and making it possible for young families to stay here is a critical thing that we ought to be working on. And that means making sure that we continue to fund education, because, first of all, those young families aren't coming here if they don't believe that their kids are going to get a quality education. They're going to find somewhere else to go. It also means taking care of things, you know, post-secondary education, like job training programs and apprenticeship programs, and connecting high school kids to the jobs that are here today. I've spoken several conversations I've had with people who run small businesses who are looking for, you know, certain – this is all true of bigger businesses too, but for small local businesses right here in Sharon who are looking for, you know, young people with technical skills, and they cannot find them. And they have gone to – one particular told me a story of going to the local high school and talking to a bunch of kids about, you know, wanting to hire draftsmen, and that, you know, you could get a technical degree from Oliver Walcott that would give you the skills to get a really solid job with lots of growth opportunities. And these kids had no idea. They'd never heard of this before. So we've got to be making those connections in education and providing – those are the kind of jobs that have a stable income that can allow a family to stay here. Mind you, another connection to that, of course, is affordable housing, because it would make it really hard for young families to be able to afford to live here, even the ones that want to be here.
And when you talk about affordable housing, what I find is a lot of people that don't understand that there's low-income housing and there's affordable housing.
Right.
There's a huge distinction there in this area. And if this area is ever going to survive, I mean, we cannot have a high school that has a population of 300. Right. It economically almost becomes unfeasible to pay taxes to do that. And the only way you're going to change that is, once again, like you say, to have this area once again be able to bring in younger people to be able to live here and to work here. And it's a three-tiered effort. I mean, you need the jobs, you need the technology, and you need the housing.
Absolutely. And you know, that's connected to yet another issue economically, which is wages. We don't in Connecticut, since the recovery, 100% of the economic recovery since 2009 has gone to the top 1%. Wages have remained stagnant or you know, been going down and adjusted for inflation. That's a horrible thing. That affects all kinds of, you know, that affects electricians, not just minimum wage workers. So that's the kind of thing that we need to invest in to make sure that we people here can earn a living to support themselves here.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because when we took over the Bargain Barn, when we saved the Bargain Barn about 4 or 5 years ago, after 1 year, we found out that people that had been employed there, there's three people that actually worked there, hadn't ever gotten a raise. We brought up their raise as best we could, and then we put them on a yearly cost of living raise. So it follows the cost of living, because you need people to work.
You need people to work. So that deflates their income. But it also – I had a long conversation with a woman who worked for the Department of Transportation, among other places, who talked about their wages have been frozen for some period of time. And that's obviously – it gets harder and harder to live when your wages don't go up. But it also – it's demoralizing. If you don't feel – if you feel like you're falling behind all the time and nobody's noticing the job you're doing, there's no growth potential, you stop – you get less productive. You get less interested in that job, and it affects all kinds of things.
Well, you know, we're talking with Maria Horn, who is running once again against Brian Oler, and we've touched on jobs and the economy. You know, I've always said here the Sharon Hospital is important in so many different ways. As an economic driver, I think it's almost as important as being a healthcare provider, because there's so many people that work at the hospital.
Absolutely right. And healthcare is a big employer in the region and certainly right here. And those, again, that's another area where wages matter. You know, we have to reward – we have to pay people an adequate wage to do those jobs so that we can attract the right people to those jobs and we can keep it – you know, make it a healthy part of our environment, which – I mean, Sharon Hospital is a critical conversation for all kinds of reasons because, again, attracting young families here, if we can't provide labor and delivery at Sharon Hospital, that's a tough sell.
It's an amazing time we live in. Now, as you've been out and talking to people one-on-one and also at larger forums like a debate or maybe community forums or even things that are held at Democratic headquarters, what are their top worries locally? I mean, do they ever talk to you and tie into national issues? And what are their top – really the top worries locally that they want you to do something about?
I talk very little about national issues, actually. There are moments in time when there's a really hot-button issue in the news, and so people will bring it up in the doors. But mostly we talk about – so, for example, take an issue like healthcare. That is a national issue, of course, because there's many conversations going national, but it's also a state issue. There are all kinds of things happening in Hartford that relate to healthcare and that you know, Connecticut in particular is in a position to be a firewall against the kind of federal sabotage that's happening to the healthcare system. And that includes last term they passed the legislation that required the 10 essential health benefits from the Affordable Care Act to be incorporated into insurance plans here. And next term, you know, we're going to be looking at things like creating a Medicaid buy-in option, maybe creating an individual mandate, looking for ways to recreate a system so that we can protect our citizens. Connecticut was one of the, you know, first states to expand Medicaid in the wake of the Affordable Care Act, and that has reduced our uninsured rate in a really dramatic way. So we have to continue to support that system.
Is Connecticut savable? I mean, you see when you look at – if you put on TV nowadays, and I know these are political ads, and I know that they're coming for the governor's race, but sometimes you get this feeling of like – is Connecticut savable?
Yes. I mean, we have to believe. You know, I mean, take a look outside. We live in a beautiful part of the world. There's so many great people who live here. There's so many opportunities to put the pieces together. So, yes, I affirmatively believe that it is savable, but it's going to be hard. We have some tough, tough choices ahead of us.
All right. In the final minute or two, talk directly to the voters that are listening about why Maria Horn should be their next representative.
Well, as I've said before, I think of this as a big job interview as I've knocked on, you know, nearly – I think I've personally knocked on nearly 4,000 doors so far. I really want to go to work in Hartford to solve problems, and I think that can be done. I think in particular the kinds of problems we are addressing today require a collaborative solution, which is the kind of thing that I have done certainly in the last – particularly in the last, you know, dozen years when I've done a lot of nonprofit leadership where you have to bring a lot of different people to the table, convince them to do things in their extra time and create real results, because if you don't create results, there's no point in being around next year. So I really would like to bring those skills. I also think that I have been an advocate all of my life in one way or another, and particularly I think the experience as a federal prosecutor, which is not just, you know, arguing with people. People have a sense that prosecutors get up and bang the table all the time. Most of your job as a prosecutor actually is doing the investigative work, which is putting together, figuring out what caused this problem in the first place, who are the real players, and then using reasoned discourse and persuasion to make your case with other people, not lobbing rocks and insults and pointing fingers. That doesn't get you anywhere. A press conference, you know, a Facebook post doesn't solve a single problem. It might make you look good, but, you know, it doesn't answer any questions.
Well, good luck, and first of all, thanks for running. It's a tough thing to do. I know from in my own little run in election how tough it is and how much you put into it. So thank you for taking the time for running, and good luck in the next couple of weeks.
Thank you so much, Marshall. It's a pleasure to be here. I feel buoyed at every moment. By every effort I've put in has been rewarded by so much. So it's a pleasure.